This is a
People don't
unique
listen.
circumstance because, you know, three of us are in the UK.
That's right. We got y'all outnumbered, bitches.
Have you got a kilt yet?
No, there's a kilt. There's literally a kilt store right around the corner. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. This is a very interesting show, as some of us are still scattered throughout the world. So Jeff went back home, and then he decided to go out and jacket in San Diego. Wesley is over in Paris. I am here in Edinburgh, Scotland, doing it from my room before flying back to London tomorrow, and then flying back home to the good old United States of America on Friday. So tonight, we've got a little bit of a short show. We're not going to go fully into our London weekend recap just because there's so much to talk about. And we
that
wanted to have
its
everybody
own show.
Right. And when we wanted to have everybody on the show to talk about their experiences, you know, Jeff was here for almost 2 weeks over here. I'm going to end up being here for about 10 days. Wesley and Scott were both here for, I don't know how long Wesley's going. Scott was here for, what, 4 or 5 days. So we'll dig more into that, including the great event Saturday night that we held. All the crazy partying stuff, all the damage we did to our livers and our bellies with all the food.
Heads, so, arms, legs, feet.
My feet are still hurting.
Everything. Travel shenanigans that happened. You know, we'll get into everything. So we may sprinkle in bits here and there about it, but for the most part, we're going to try to hold off and get to that in the upcoming couple of weeks. So we're going to focus this week instead. We'll kind of give our final thoughts on the game. Saints Twitter had a meltdown about a backup running back. You've got your quarterback debate raging. We had our first practice today. It's so weird that I had to wait until 9:15 my time to get the practice updates.
Welcome to my world.
That's another, the whole time thing difference. Oh, I don't know how you guys do it sometimes after experiencing this. But we won't go into that.
Only worse in Pelicans season.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, Pelicans, I couldn't watch any of the game last night. I had to wake up and scroll through all the highlights.
Yeah, and then again, welcome to my world.
Right. So, and then we will preview the Seattle game in the Dome. We've got, after the London game, we got a pair of upcoming home games. This will be interesting for me since I'm going home Friday and then I'll have the game on Sunday. I'm sure I'll be full of energy on Sunday for that game as they play Seattle. But again, joining us tonight is Ben, Scott, and James. How is everybody recovering?
I haven't.
I don't think I fully have either. I'm just tired all the time right now.
I fell asleep at a meeting today at work. Just straight up.
That's what the Dome Patrol do to you. You didn't even leave the country.
No, just straight up fell asleep.
I've just realized that going from Thursday lunchtime to Sunday night, I'm too old for this shit.
And he literally said that on, I think, what was that, Sunday?
I think I might have said that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and maybe Monday morning too.
Every day. Yeah. Ben's the only one that isn't too old for this shit, and he fell asleep in a meeting. So, all right, let's start off. So, you obviously, everyone heard our quick instant reaction. Quink? Did I say quink?
You did say Scottish, quink, yeah.
That's my Scottish accent trying to come out. Our quick instant reaction live from the streets of Soho. We all sounded exhausted, I'm sure. So that was our initial reaction. Has anything changed? So clearly, it's a couple of the big topics out of the game. You've got the quarterback debate. People thinking Andy Dalton looked okay. We should use him going forward. The injury bug plaguing us, the officiating was absolutely terrible, especially as we've had more time and the data has just come out about the penalties against the Saints over the last few years. So I guess now that everybody has kind of calmed down, any kind of remaining thoughts, anything you guys want to talk about the game? I'll say, I don't know if I mentioned it on the instant reaction, but it was an interesting game experience just because it's not a, you know, 80% of the crowd is for the home team or vice versa. There were Saints fans there, there were Vikings fans there, and then there were just NFL fans. So it was interesting to see kind of the reactions and how the crowd was. It seemed like every time any penalty was thrown for any team, the crowd cheered. They booed on third down instead of just screaming. That was kind of one thing, but it was just a weird game experience because it was like there wasn't truly a side in the crowd, so, and it's just not something you're used to.
So before we get into the dissecting the game, then it's a question for Scott and for you, Jason, really is, how did the UK game experience compare to watching a game in America?
I think, kind of like Jason said, it was a little different just because not everybody was cheering for one team or the other. Like when we, you know, when you're in the dome, it's 95% Saints fans or 90% Saints fans. And when you go to road games, like we have in the past few years, it's, you know, there's not a lot of Saints fans. You know, when we went to Tennessee, it was all Tennessee fans, and there was a few pockets of Saints fans. This had a few pockets of Saints fans, a few pockets of Vikings fans. They were all kind of mixed together. They weren't like in one area or another. And then you, like you said, you saw a lot of Brady jerseys and Garoppolo and, you know, just Aaron Rodgers, just from all the different teams. The atmosphere, I think, was great. All the fans seemed really into the game and were really paying attention. It was interesting when they started playing certain songs, people would sing along and stuff, which I thought was really cool. I mean, we do that in America too, but to see it.
You mean Sweet Caroline? Now.
Sweet Caroline, yeah. When you see that in another country, it's just awesome. It just shows you the reach of just music in general. I think the lines were long at the concession stands from, you know, pretty long.
Well, these days in the dome, they're long too. So everything, yeah, even though everything's contactless, it's still.
But I mean, it was definitely a very unique experience. Because usually, I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me. You know, when you go to a game in the dome, there's usually like the opposing team fans are kind of all in usually one section for the most part.
Yeah, they're usually by somewhere along there, either their sideline or in the bottom corner. There's a lot of them on that side, and then you have some sprinkled out, but for the most part they're kind of concentrated on the side behind the opposing team's bench. And it was interesting because the Saints, as a home game, they brought the dome announcer was there, and they had some things on the Jumbotron that they played. I say the Jumbotron, but you know, the screens that they played, like the us versus them,
right?
But it wasn't quite as many as you'd see in the dome. There were some, I guess, you know, because it's in a broad game, there were some Vikings stuff that they played too. They did the Vikings intro, they did some other Vikings things, and they did Saints. So it was slightly less of that, but overall the game presentation was fine. We still have to wait for the American commercial breaks. That's kind of really the worst thing. You have to check the guy with the orange gloves to know when they're going. So really,
that's
just
the most frustrating thing about watching a game live.
Yeah, and it is in the dome too,
for?
Right? Money,
of
baby,
course,
commercials
TV
and money
adverts.
I mean, right, so. But I thought overall the action of the game, you know, you had the halftime show, which, you know, whatever. We don't have crazy halftime shows.
Yeah, I went to the bar for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like the stadium.
I was going to say the state. What did you think to the stadium?
Yeah, I like the stadium.
Nice.
Yeah, I liked it. Whenever I go to a game and it's an outdoor stadium, always it's cool. To me, it's like cool because I'm so used to being inside. So I always like going to outdoor stadiums just because I don't get to go to a game in an outdoor stadium all that much.
Right. And I think after being there in that stadium, I think I'm going to become a Tottenham fan and cheer for them in football. Uh-oh. So
I knew there was something wrong with you. I knew there was something wrong with you. I just knew it. There's always something inbred about you. And now it comes out.
Yes. For those who don't know, Ben's a big Arsenal fan, and Tottenham's like their arch rival. It's the Falcons playing the Saints.
It's the first time I've been to that stadium, and I was really impressed. And I mean, I went to the old stadium that was on that site, and if you'd have seen that stadium compared to this one, it's like completely different. So yeah, very, very, very impressed. But I was just interested to find out what you thought of the British game experience of watching an NFL game.
Oh yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. Part of me is a little jaded knowing that I don't think our team's very good. But I mean, look, it was an exciting game. I enjoyed watching the game. The travel leaving the stadium was a shit show. But
Yeah.
That's.
But like the
we got on the first train, didn't we?
But the concession prices were cheaper than the dome. I mean, I know it was in pounds, but I think it's still cheaper than the beers and the waters at the dome. So.
I definitely think that one thing I will say is, you know, they had the NFL store outside the stadium. And I mean, Jeff got in and I guess you could say went through it pretty quick, but they really need to have merch stands inside the stadium too. Like there were no merch stands inside the stadium at all. And I don't really get that.
Problem is because it's a Premier League football ground, you don't get that.
Yeah.
You just don't get that in Premier League football grounds.
Huh.
I mean, I think it'd be a good opportunity for them to make money during the game. You know, if they had merch stands in the side of the stadium. I mean,
they know what the British culture is like. They just put bars instead.
Hey, I can't complain there.
No. Yeah. So, but the one thing I noticed from when we were walking around London before the game, a couple of days building up to it, considering then game day, was the amount of Vikings fans that actually turned up probably like Saturday. And I've noticed we didn't really think about this. They're all flying in from Scandinavia because Norway, Denmark, and Finland have a massive Minnesota Vikings fan base for the obvious reason. Friday, we're walking around London. Yeah.
Oh, no Vikings. Okay. Yeah. Got you.
So we all walk around and all you saw in London was black and gold, like building up to it. And then suddenly game day showed and all these Norwegians turned up.
Yeah. A lot of big dudes with red beards.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we did that into consideration when we thought about this game.
Yeah. So before we go any deeper into the weekend, should we talk about the game now?
Yes.
Yeah. I told you we would sprinkle it in here and there. It just kind of comes out.
It does.
The game itself.
I'm going to say the word again. Frustrating.
You could tell it's not a disciplined team. Like, I know some of the penalties were shit, but some of them were legit. And it's not just this game with the penalties either. It's every game we've had. And the turnovers and the penalties that cost us. I mean, you know, it's just undisciplined. There's no what, Jason?
Oh no, I was actually yawning.
I know, but there's no what. There's no what.
There is no accountability.
There it is.
The magic word.
He's throwing around a bit this week as well.
Yeah.
Look, I've come to the acceptance phase of everything. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, I'm out on Allen. I don't think it's going to change. And people are like, well, the team's very talented. And all you have to do is do this. I'm like, well, if you're a bad coach, bad coaches don't do that. They don't fix that. That's not what happens. Could it happen? Theoretically, but it's not going to. Look, you had the first quarter, 2 drives, 4 minutes, nothing. Same thing as before. And really, you know, the Vikings went up 7-0 until that Matthew pick. If the Vikings would have scored there, I'm like, oh shit, here comes the blowout. So at least the team does fight. I'll give them that. The team hasn't quit on Allen or anything like that. They fight hard, you know.
That's the defense fighting hard because that's defense. It was Allen's for years. Like, you know, Tony Tomorrow Davis is going to constantly fight for him. So is Cam. So is Lattimore. And it'd be interesting to see because we knew what Lattimore was up against this weekend. And Jefferson did have a good game, but the guy who I think that really did the damage on us on some of those drives was Phelan. You know, 8 receptions, 72 yards, just playing underneath. Wasn't really, you know.
And I told you before the game, that he eats us alive, and I was told, no, he's past his prime. He's not going to do anything.
Well, yeah, he's past his prime.
Still killed us.
They did see, you know, they ran a couple of really well executed plays and good plays, and
they especially
on third down. Yeah, like on third down.
So on both of their touchdown drives, they had multiple drive extending penalties go in their favor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tyrann Mathieu hands to the face bullshit.
Bullshit. Complete bullshit.
Okay. Then, you know, they scored their first touchdown on a play where one of their linemen was 4 yards downfield on a pass play. And then we got a play later on called back that we got a first down on, where Eric McCoy was within the allowable yard downfield.
Yeah, because Ingram caught the ball behind the line of scrimmage.
He caught the ball behind the line of scrimmage. And but you know, it's just stupid drive extending bullshit from referees. I mean
at least the London fans with the full Saints experience.
At some point, right, is somebody within the Saints organization not gonna go, hang on a minute,
let's call this out.
Something's not right here at all.
No, because they don't know what they're doing. They should. I mean, that, and that's that. Like, it's one thing to be an irrational Saints fan. Oh yeah, the refs suck. Whatever. The data is there. The data is fucking there.
The last even 4 years. Even,
right.
Have the you last seen 4 years. Stat about the last 4 years.
Right. Like the penalties are so outweighed in our favor compared to other teams, and any, you know, it's like they're the least penalized against us, and they end up, it ends up evening out for them the rest of the year. But whenever they play us, it's just different. And despite all this, we've still been able to win a shit ton of games over the last how many years. And yet it's clear it's something's happening. It's not nothing. It's not just the luck of the flag or whatever. It can't be. It's impossible. The number, it's statistically impossible.
And that's coming from a CPA.
Now, look. Yeah, but now look, some of the penalties are stupid, self-inflicted penalties.
Absolutely. Like
false start.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You know, things like that. You know, and there's some stupid stuff that some players are doing, which we need to clean up. But again, we lost a game on a double doink, which was so close to where me and Ben were sat, we could have reached out over into the fucking field and picked it up and pulled it over the bloody crossbar. We were that close to it. Without Jameis Winston, without Alvin Kamara, without Michael Thomas, without Marcus May.
Yep. Yeah, but yes, and we're still going to be missing some of these guys going forward.
No, we are. We are, granted. And, but, you know, we were saying on the instant reaction, some people were saying we're only going to win 4 games this year. You know, if 5 plays go slightly differently this year, we could be 4-0.
But yes, but they did.
But then, if we hadn't had one amazing quarter against the Falcons, we could be 0-4.
Yes.
That's the fine, and at some point, that has got to switch.
So the Saints lead the league in fourth quarter scoring.
Yay! Brilliant. Do we get a trophy for that?
We're also last in quarters 1 through 3 scoring. So it's like it's crazy. It's crazy.
But that's why I said on the instant reaction, I think we are going to win games this year because I can see it there. It's just a case of getting it all together in one game. And I think it starts this weekend. I think the Seahawks are getting it this weekend.
I think we'll be 8-9.
I hope the Seahawks get it this week. So in the back of my mind, some of me is I'm not pulling for losses, but I want Allen out of here. So whatever speeds that up, and an 8-9 means he's going to stick around. It just prolongs.
He's going to be here for another 2 or 3 years.
That just means it prolongs the inevitable. So that's where I am in my mind.
I don't even think 1 in 16 gets Allen fired.
Oh, I think it would. If
it didn't, then that really, really screams even more to the
inevitability. Accountability.
Yes. Now, look, I don't want the Saints to lose. I don't. I'm a fan. I don't want them to lose. I just think Allen's going to be a waste of time and effort and years. And I just don't want it to drag on.
Going back to the game, Chris Olave, once again, looks like we've hit there. 100% we've hit there.
Real deal.
Looks the real deal. And Pete Werner is now leading
I would like you to learn to say his name correctly.
Pete Werner. There you go.
Thank you. Put some respect on that man's name.
That's right. That's
leading,
right.
Leading.
It's not Pete Michael.
It's not Pete Michael.
Terry Bridgewater.
Terry Bridgewater.
he is now leading the league in tackles.
Still leading the league. He's got 31 solo tackles. The next is 28, I believe.
He was an animal on Sunday.
He's pretty great.
So the pass rush came to play this week.
Yep.
It did. Yeah, it did. We needed it. They came to life. Now, I don't know how good the Minnesota line is, but it doesn't matter. They still, we needed them to produce. And
Marcus Davenport was straight up bullying their left tackle. There was a couple of times where there was a couple of times where Davenport absolutely destroyed the left tackle. And if Cousins had been half a second later throwing the ball, he might not have seen the end of the game.
It's a good sign for sure. They needed to wake up. So maybe that's a good thing for. Maybe they figured something out. They've got to keep it up. Got to keep it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look, there were some positives in the game. I mean, Lutz, even though he missed the 61-yarder, drilled the 60. I mean, with all the pressure on him, you know, drilled the 60-yarder.
Well, the one that he hit to make it to put us in the lead, wasn't it 20-25-22 or whatever it was? I can't remember whatever it was, or tied the game. Where me and Ben were sat, that looked like it was really close, but actually, when you watch it back on a replay, it was good by a good fair distance.
Yeah, the leg's definitely back, and I know y'all were talking about him missing it in pregame, so I was a little worried there, but. You know, even the double doink. I mean, it was right there. If it's like an inch one way, you know, the way the ball hit, if it hits on another side of the ball, it goes through. It goes.
If that's an indoor. If that's an indoor dome,
very possible. You know, very possible. If it's on American uprights, very possible.
They're the same shape, Jason.
I don't know. You guys measure differently over here. I'm sure it was wider or fatter or something.
A guy who gets a lot of crap from, and rightly so, from all of us, actually had a pretty solid game back there. And Cesar Ruiz,
there's he played improvement. All right.
There's He's, improvement.
He has shown improvement since his first game. Yeah, at this point, it's progress, right?
Yeah. It's better than our first round draft pick on the defensive end.
Oh, waste.
Just yeah. Waste. Two assisted tackles, and that's the productivity you really want.
Unbelievable.
On offensive I'm going to hold off on my praise for the offensive line this week, because I don't think the Vikings D-line is as good as it has been previously.
No, it's one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, Seattle, they've always tended to have a decent D-line. Obviously, we've got Trigger Trey coming back in a week and a half's time. So I think those two will give us a better indication of where the offensive line sits. But, you know, it was a good performance. Dalton was sacked twice?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
And Dalton had a good game. I mean, other than the fumble, you know, he did what he needed to do for us to win.
He didn't lose the game.
No, definitely did not.
And we didn't need him to win it for us.
That's Deontay Harty.
I honestly don't think that the game would have been as close. I think Jameis would have thrown a pick or two. Let's just say that.
I don't know. It's
hard to say.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's hard to say. When we get down like that, Jameis, the way he is, when he starts gunslinging, it can be counterproductive. Like, it's kind of like
we were never down and out, though. That's the thing. Like, the only time he starts gunslinging is when we're down and out.
Nah, not necessarily. Like,
yeah, I mean, what the biggest lead was, what, 9 points, I think, 16-7.
Yeah, we were never down and out of it completely.
Yeah, it maybe felt like it because we got off to a slow start again. But Dalton did what he had to do. He played okay. I mean, the one fumble, it was a big fumble. Cost us 3 points.
We lost by three.
And we lost by three. So that was still big. But, I mean, he played okay. I mean, he's not a world beater, but he
did what he needed to do to win.
He did enough where we could have won.
He's starting Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Just I think Jameis's injury is going to be a multiple week thing. There's no way. Like, I mean, it's going to be a couple of weeks, I think, just because he's not healthy.
So hindsight then, and I think we did discuss this on Sunday in the Instant Reaction. If we'd have had Andy Dalton playing against Tampa and playing against Carolina, would we have done any differently? And would we potentially have been going into that Minnesota game 2-1 rather than 1-2?
I think we might have split those games.
Yeah, I think we may have beaten Tampa. Because the defense was on that day, and we gave them 13 points, didn't we? On turnovers.
Yeah. Well, I still think the score would have gone up because Lattimore went out, obviously got ejected. So this, I think you would have seen. Still, I don't know. It's so hard to see. You can't really tell.
Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
But Deontay Hardy, he's another one. He's just
finish my point, but never mind.
We're going to finish your point then.
No, carry on, mate.
Oh, just Deontay Harte, like, honestly, what is the point of this guy anymore?
Right, cut his ass. Just cut him. He doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, but I don't get it. He wants to earn a paycheck, so fucking play the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
And don't fumble it.
Right?
Don't fucking fumble it.
No, but that's what the Saints do. We fumble the ball. Saints fumble the ball.
Did y'all see the tweet he put out? Let me find
it. Okay, good, yeah. Yeah, he put out something about all the people talking to him. Yeah, well, I mean, whatever, dude. Don't let Twitter rile you up. Twitter's a rough place, as we found out yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a panic because the guy we're talking about, Murray.
Present.
It's not present.
Not anymore. Present. Not anymore. Got picked up by Denver, and you'd have thought the world ended, as crazy as it was.
I think I said it best, didn't I? I said, this is Latavius Murray we're talking about, not Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith, or Barry Sanders.
Right, and The way I look at it in a vacuum, yes, he's a backup running back. He wasn't on the team. He ran well, so we're kind of excited because he ran well and didn't fumble. It's something we haven't seen in a few weeks. But it's just another in the line of things that happened to us that, you know, maybe couldn't have avoided. Whether he was really worth holding on to, I mean,
we were playing the 29th ranked rushing defense this weekend. Now, had we been playing Tampa, let's go back to that. He had exactly the same stats against the Vikings as Mark Ingram had against Tampa Bay, who have got the third ranked rushing defense in the league this year. Now, look, I know everybody likes to rag on Mark Ingram, right? And he did cost us the Bucs game with a fumble. But should we really have been losing our shit because Latavius Murray decided to go and sign with the Broncos? I don't think we should.
You shouldn't have let him left the building in the first place. Back no,
we didn't have a choice. We offered him a deal, and he chose to go to the Broncos. Right.
I'm talking about before. Last year when we decided to bring in Tony Jones Jr. over him.
Right. So yeah, you could
that
say
was
that
though. We needed that for other positions.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you want to be mad, like he chose the Broncos over us, which means hey, he didn't want to play for us. For whatever reason that may be.
I'm assuming the Broncos offered him more money and more playing time.
Well, definitely more playing time with Javonte Williams going out. But yeah, it wasn't the end of the world. Everybody was screaming yesterday. It's just crazy how...
But that being said, too, I think Ingram this has got to be his last year, right?
I think his last year of his contract, yeah.
I mean, we don't re-sign him.
Oh, he'll retire. He'll retire.
I don't know. Well, I could see us bringing it back for a year. Who knows? I mean, Jesus. Who knows what the hell we're going to do? I mean, I honestly have no idea what the hell we're going to do in the offseason. I just don't know. So I could see him back. But yeah, definitely what wasn't the end of the world, like Twitter said yesterday. So anything else on the game before we move on?
I mean, nice to see our tight ends finally get involved.
Oh, Troutman exists.
Troutman exists. It was nice.
Spent four fucking draft picks on that dude. I mean, that's
and Juwan Johnson got some receptions as well.
Just irresponsible. Yeah, look, it's trying to get more guys involved. You don't need
and
to
one of our tight ends scored a touchdown.
Yes,
Taysom.
Did.
It's kind of amazing. He runs to the left, we get stopped. He runs to the right, it's all right.
Did you see, and I don't know whether you saw Jeff Duncan's tweet about that touchdown run, There were seven offensive linemen and four tight ends on the field for that play out of the 11. That was the lineup. There was you had four tight ends and seven offensive linemen. They knew what was coming and they couldn't stop it.
Didn't matter. We should just do that all game.
But I'm telling you, there's a pass coming out of that set at some point.
Eventually, there's in the future.
Eventually, if Pete Michael can have the guts to call it, we'll see.
Yeah. Sir Pete Michael.
That's like the extra jumbo package.
All right. So moving along, today we had the first practice of the week. Good news is Kamara was a participant. I don't know. Did any news about Marcus May? Was he a participant?
Yes, he was practicing.
Okay.
Pete was limited as well. So that's good because Throckmorton wasn't practicing at all.
Is that fitness or ability?
You tell me. And Kamara's just said he's feeling great, healthy, and ready to roll, and he'll be out there on Sunday.
Okay, well, that's good. So that's good. No Michael Thomas still.
Yeah, that kind of concerns me. Yes. I don't know. I mean,
right.
I don't – they keep saying it's a toe. Is it broken? Is it turf toe? Like, what – all I hear is toe. Like, what's wrong with this fucking toe?
Didn't he miss a lot of training camp with a toe injury? Was that a toe injury that he had? Well, no, it was hamstring, wasn't it? It was his hamstring. Ignore me.
I think it was his hamstring.
So limited, you had Kamara, Ramchek, Landry, Marcus May, Pete, Tatum, and Granderson. But I've also seen a report where Landry didn't practice, so I need to double check that. And then didn't practice Jameis, Michael Thomas, Peyton Turner, Throckmorton, and PJ. And PJ went out during the game on Sunday. But yeah, Peyton Turner once again can't stay healthy.
Nope, always injured. That's our motto, always injured. So yeah, I mean, no Jameis means definitely looks like Dalton this week. But yeah, the Michael Thomas thing, it's weird because he played most of the previous game. So, God. Frustrating. It's just injuries are just frustrating, man. I'm tired. I'm tired of all the goddamn injuries. I'm over it. I'm fucking over it. I'm tired. I'm over it. I know other teams have injuries. It feels like we're more injured than other teams.
Did I see something where Malcolm Roach is back now? Did I see something today?
He's eligible to return from IR this week.
Okay. Doesn't mean he will. It just means he's eligible.
And I believe Trevor Penning is also eligible to return from IR this week, but he's going to be another few weeks away. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be interesting to see when he gets into the lineup.
Yeah.
How many penalties?
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, we're just dealing with more injury. You know, I mean, what else is new? But at least getting Kamara back should be a boost. Having May back, would be a boost. I mean, I think he's been a big miss the last couple of weeks. Yeah, even though the defense has played, you know, the defense has played steady, but that was a big loss.
Yeah, it was.
So, all right. Well, now with that out of the way, let us move to pick'ems. So, I don't have the results tabulated. Jeff is still – give Jeff some time. He's been on the
road. We might have an updated table by week 17.
Yeah.
He'll get caught up.
Just think of it as this is a way for you out there, whoever is involved in pick'ems, to think you're in first place. You might be. Nobody knows.
I can guarantee you Ben and Neil aren't in first place.
Yeah, Ben and Neil are definitely in last place. Definite pleasure to finally meet Neil last weekend.
Yes, it was.
The Silver Fox.
Yep. All right, so let's go. We will start with this week's London game, the first London game between a battle of winning teams in however many years this has happened. It's crazy that it took this long for it to happen. You got the New York Giants. Years, yeah. New York Giants sitting there at 3-1. Got a new coach, Brian Daboll. I mean, that's the kind of coach you need to hire, a coach that can turn the Giants into winners. They're sitting there at 3-1. And they host the Green Bay Packers, who I would imagine are going to have a lot of fans in the building. Is it also at Tottenham Stadium? Okay.
They've already turned it around to put all the Giants stuff up in the stadium. That was done on Monday.
I thought it was Packers home game.
No, it's a Giants home game.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely
Packers,
not going to
Packers are never giving up a home game, mate.
Yeah,
never.
They're not going to take a home game away from the beloved Packers.
With this new...
Well, I think they're going to leave it as late as they need to.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you would think the crowd may be a little tilted towards Green Bay, and the Vegas line says it. The Packers are favored by 8.
Whatever the line is, give me Green Bay.
I'm taking the Giants.
Yeah, 8 is way too much. I'm taking the Giants.
Packers are going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Packers haven't been playing that great. They've been winning. They've been surviving.
Packers are going to win. No problem.
It is a Packers home game, and it is going to be the Packers that win it. Wow. I'm taking the Packers.
Look at me.
I'm with you, Jason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Renee's like, who's keeping track? I don't do this anymore. Jeff does it. I'll let Jeff do it. I just spit out the games. All right, our next game, the Dallas Cowboys. Sitting there at 3-1. Cooper Rush getting the job done. They travel to Los Angeles to play a Rams team that got dominated Monday night. Was it Monday night against the 49ers? I know the 49ers beat them.
It was Sunday night.
It was Sunday night?
Yeah, Sunday night game. Monday morning over here.
Right. I'm so confused. All right. So, So Dallas is looking okay. When Dak got hurt, everybody thought their season was over, and Cooper Rush has kept it alive. So they're traveling to Los Angeles. I got to imagine there's going to be more Cowboys fans than Rams fans in the building. But the Rams are favored by 5.5.
Give me the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Rams.
Five and a half. Is this 3, maybe?
Give me the Rams. Wow. I can't believe I'm picking the Rams. But
no, nor me, but I'm not picking the Cowboys.
All right. All right. Our next game. Battle in the AFC North. Cincinnati Bengals. Sitting there at 2-2 after starting 0-2. They're looking good again. They travel to Baltimore to play a Ravens team who... I'm pretty sure the Ravens won last week.
Two and two.
God, that was another tough thing. All the noon games, it's like the game's over. It's like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and like all the noon games are still going on. So anyway, sorry to get sidetracked. This game
Welcome
is in Baltimore.
To our world.
Right. Ravens are favored by 3.
Give me the Ravens.
Give me the Burrow Bengals.
I'm doing whatever Scott does, and I know what Scott's doing.
Rolling with Joey B.
All right. Our next game, an interesting AFC tilt. The Los Angeles Chargers coming off a win last week. They travel to Cleveland to play a Browns team that is looking pretty good, just waiting for Deshaun Watson to get back. Again, I'm not exactly sure what they did last week, but it's in Cleveland, and they're getting 3 points at home.
Wow. And that's the Chargers? The
Chargers. Herbert played last week. They won pretty easily. You know, he had the rib injury. Not sure how serious it is, but.
Give me the Chargers. I don't like that pick.
I'm going to take Cleveland.
Yeah, the Chargers don't travel well to the East Coast. Although technically is Cleveland.
Not technically East Coast, but it is traveling east. Central time.
Yeah. Give me the better quarterback.
Go on, Chargers.
What was the line again?
Cleveland 3. +3.
Yeah, give me the points, please.
All right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
Is it us?
Seattle's playing well, so that's why it's not us. That's why ours got disqualified, because Seattle's actually playing well. The Tennessee Titans sitting there at 2-2. Started off pretty slow, but they managed to battle back. They're at 2-2. They travel to Washington to play an absolute dog shit Commanders team. They brought in Carson Wentz. It hasn't worked out. This is year three of Ron Rivera. The fans are calling for him to step down. They just think they don't have it. I mean, they're a shit organization with a shitty owner and a shitty team. And a shit
Do they have accountability?
There is. Dan Snyder keeps avoiding accountability somehow, some way. He just goes in his yacht out in Europe to the boys being subpoenaed by the U.S. government.
Surely, like, no one, like, if they get Rivera out, no one's going to go for that job. Like, it's just a.
Well, someone will, because Snyder will chuck money at him.
Yeah, but it's a shitty. It's been a shitty organization for 20 years. Nothing's worked. Even when they get a good thing on RG3, they blow his knee out on a terrible field.
And they had Cousins.
Yeah, let him go. So, anyway, this game's in Washington, and the Commanders are getting 2.5 at home.
And who are they playing?
The Titans.
Give me the Titans.
Tighten up.
I'm going to take the Titans.
Titans as well for me.
Titan four-way.
Four-way Nashville hot chicken. Yep. All right, so that's your games this week. We've got our London game, the Giants technically at the Packers. Packers are favored by 8. Cowboys at the Rams. Rams favored by 5.5. Bengals at the Ravens. Ravens favored by 3. Chargers at the Browns. Browns getting 3 at home. In our shitty game, the Titans at the Commanders. Commanders plus 2.5. So make sure to get your pick'ems in. Tweet them at the account, and Jeff will hopefully like it and track it. He is going to have 2 or 3 weeks he's going to have to track, so that'll be fun for him. I'm sure he's going to miss somebody's picks. So if he posts them and your picks look like you're wrong or look like they're wrong, they probably are. So just tweet at him and he'll fix it once he's back from San Diego.
Tweet at him in capital letters as well.
Yes, yes, do it. Do it.
Yeah, because he can't see.
Well, but also when you do it in caps, you just mean more, you know. You really want to get your point across. You really need more.
Exactly.
You
know,
all caps. And now we will move into our game preview, where the Saints will be back in the Dome this Sunday, welcoming in the Seattle Seahawks. Riding kind of high with Geno Smith. Crazy to think. That Geno Smith.
Look, I saw him play. I think it was their first game of the year, and he actually looked pretty decent. Like, he looked like he was playing pretty well. You hear the name Geno Smith and you just automatically think joke, but he was actually running around pretty well, slinging the ball well, and that's the kind of quarterbacks, you know, the ones that could scramble, the ones that we've had trouble with.
Yeah, I mean, look, they put up 48 points last week. Now, it was against the Lions, who have the worst defense in the league, but they put up 48 points.
You look at good defenses that he's played against this year, though. He hasn't been able to move the ball. So I think with our defense, we should be fine with Geno Smith. I hope we're fine against Geno Smith. But, yeah, weird shit can happen.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. I mean, And the one thing about Seattle is they gave up 45 to Detroit. They gave up – I mean, they lost to the Falcons. They gave up 27 to the Falcons. So gave up 27 to the Niners. And then that first game, they beat the Broncos. So they can be scored on. I guess we'll have to see. Can our offense get off to a faster start? Is that possible?
If the offense gets off – honestly, if the offense gets off to a slow start again, when do the boos start coming in?
Oh, you may see him the first – if they go 3-and-out, I think you're going to start hearing some. I think
they're getting restless.
The fans are definitely getting restless. I mean, at least they're getting restless and not apathetic, because that's kind of the old day, you know, the olden days of the Saints, it was just apathetic. We knew we sucked. People didn't care. People still care. They're intense about it, but – I definitely
now
think
the expectation.
If they were to have a first quarter like they did in London with 2 drives and nothing, you're definitely going to start hearing the boos. Well,
I think getting off to a fast start in this game is essential, because how often we played with a lead this year?
We haven't. We probably haven't had a single lead. Well, we did have a lead
before halftime. We haven't had a lead all season.
None all season. That's crazy.
So, you know, that's what this defense is good at, is when the opposition team are the ones that are chasing the game, and we've not put them in a position where they can pin their ears back and start really going after the quarterback. Now, again, Geno Smith is more of a mobile quarterback, so are we going to see the more, what's the word I'm looking for, tentative
game plan?
Conservative pass rush game plan, and go with the gap integrity, maintaining gap integrity, and having somebody not spy the QB, but somebody watch the QB and things like that. But it's absolutely vital that we score on our first drive. We have to get a lead, because then once I think we get a lead, that's when you'll see the defense really come to the fore. And don't get me wrong, it's been the strongest part of our team all year. But we need them. I'd like to see them with a lead to protect.
Kamara coming back is going to definitely suit Dalton's game. I think you're going to see a lot of like later year Drew Brees with what getting Kamara in space and letting him be an alien. I think that suits Dalton more than Winston's game. So I think that's going to be a positive to see out of it.
Hopefully. And I think getting a lead early will definitely keep the crowd in the game. That's one of the biggest things. You have to keep the crowd in the game.
Do you think there's not many road fans?
Seattle actually travels pretty well. I remember the last time Seattle played in the Dome, there were a lot more Seattle fans than I thought there would be.
That was when they were good, though.
Yeah.
Was the Legion of Boom days. Yeah, it was the Legion of Boom days. That wasn't it. I think we beat them, didn't we, the last time we played them in the Dome?
Yeah, that was Jimmy Graham coming back.
I didn't think we won that game. I thought they beat us.
Nah, Jimmy Graham didn't ever beat us when he was at Seattle. We've won our last two up at their place against him.
I think we're unbeaten in three. But anyway,
yeah,
okay. Irrelevant to the conversation.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But no, there will be a decent share of Seattle fans, I think. So that'll be something to look out. And with the Saints being 1-3, have more season ticket holders try to sell their tickets. Got to make some money. That could be a possibility too, especially as the season goes along. If they continue to lose, you may see more of that. So, look, New Orleans is always a fun city to go to. So there's always going to be a good number of opposing fans. That seems to have been the case the last, I don't know, 5-10 years at least. Now that it's a lot more easy to buy your tickets online. So there'll definitely be that. We'll have to pay attention to the injuries. I mean, I'm thinking Michael Thomas probably doesn't play.
Yeah, I'm guessing not. So. Especially Kevin White signs the practice squad.
If he's not practicing tomorrow, he's not playing Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. No
way. And Kevin White won't be on the active roster this weekend.
No,
we can pray.
Oh God, man. So. Well, hopefully having Marcus May back should help going against Smith. I don't know. Throw Lattimore and Metcalf. I mean, I don't know who else they're receiving. I honestly don't know.
Lockett's good.
Oh yeah, that's right. They do still have Lockett.
But I think Lattimore's got to follow Metcalf. Well, but then Adebo's the more physical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe you put a Debo on him.
A Debo's the more physical corner. We'll have to wait and see. Lattimore following Jefferson at the weekend didn't really work. But then, like Scott said, the Vikings were really creative with Jefferson. There was a couple of plays where he's lined up in the backfield.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for Lattimore to cover him coming out of the backfield.
Right. Well, you know, one of the big matchups this week is going to be the defense against the run game. Penny rushed for 150 yards last week. So I know Seattle, for a long time, Seattle had maybe the worst offensive line in the league. I know they've heavily invested in it. So that's going to be
just as Wilson leaves.
Right, right. That's exactly what he wanted. So that'll be something to watch out for. Can Werner keep doing his thing? And keep the running game in check. Because if they were able to run the ball on us, then it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a really long day. So, we'll see if there's any kind of jet lag slash hangover coming back from London. Usually teams take a week off after London, but the Saints are actually coming to play. At least they're playing a home game. Don't have to travel again, but I wonder if there's going to be any
lingering. I think only one team has ever come back from London without a bye before, and that was the Colts. And I remember looking earlier, they did win the game straight after London.
Okay. So, well, it's also getting to the point where your season is going to be on the line soon. So
this is a must win game.
Absolutely. Have to win the game. Have to win the game. I mean, this is it. You dropped 1-4.
And Philadelphia are laughing.
Of course they are. I mean, they are in prime position to capitalize. So, any other game thoughts before we get to final score prediction?
I think this is the weekend it all comes together. I'm really, really confident that this is the weekend it all comes together. And I'm not going to say we're going to blow the doors off them, but this is going to be a comfortable for Saints
win. Is that because Kamara's coming back?
Even if Kamara wasn't playing, I just think this is the weekend. Look, they've had the week away in London to really kind of regroup and get their shit sorted out. We nearly won on Sunday. We nearly won on Sunday.
Yeah. For me, if Kamara plays, we win. If he doesn't, well, we're 0-8 without Kamara. So.
Oof. Oh, shit.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, at least it looks like he's going to play. So that's a good sign. So, all right. Well, let's get into score predictions.
28-13 Saints. Sorry, no, change that. 25-13.
I'm going to say 24-20, but I'm not 100% sure who wins.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say Seahawks 27-24. I'm just, until they prove otherwise and get a win, I'm going to pick them to lose. I hate it.
If Kamara's playing, Seattle 21, Saints 28.
I hope so. I really want a damn win.
If Kamara's not playing, Saints 17, Seattle forget about 28. It.
No. So.
But the Pels won.
Yeah, well, let's. So now that the score is out of the way, let's get to any final thoughts.
Can I say that again, Ben, in the right place?
Yeah, say it in the right place.
Well, the Pels won, so good start. Zion's MVP odds have been slashed in half from last night.
I got him at 65-1 way back when. It's
crazy.
It is kind of funny. I joked with Courtney. I was like, this Saints season couldn't have started any better for the Pelicans. I mean, the Saints are 1-3, trending down. There's actually real excitement about the Pelicans, especially with Zion coming back. And there's a lot of – they had an open practice in the arena on Saturday, sold out, at least however many tickets they allotted or gave away. So, a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. So they appear to be reaping the rewards of an incompetent Saints organization, even though they're all in the same building. Funny how that works out.
There was a lot of positives because I've watched like a 20-minute highlight run on YouTube today. Dyson Daniels looked really good running the point. Really, really good. If he can be a serviceable player this year, now not expecting him to have that many minutes, but if he can be a serviceable player, then you know that second lineup that they can put out there is probably better than 10 teams in the league can put out with their starting lineup.
That is one thing I kind of noticed from all the highlights, and sure, it's just one preseason game, but there's a lot of quality NBA players on that team, and there's only so many minutes to go around. There's going to be guys that probably deserve minutes that aren't going to be able to get any because there's just too many guys on this team.
So how many did you carry into the season on your roster?
They carry 15, but only like 12 or 13 are allowed to dress out, I think.
Okay. So go through the names. So Zion, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Jonas, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy,
Jose Alvarado, Dyson Daniels. Jackson Hayes.
Yeah.
Larry Nance,
yeah.
That's 10, right?
You're 10 there already.
10 deep. Then you still have Hernan Gomez.
Yep.
Devontae Graham.
Yep. Najee Marshall.
Najee's not going to get any minutes.
So that's 13.
Right. There's your 13 that dress out. And then you have your 2-way players and your whatever else. So there's going to be some DNPs some nights, and there's just nothing you can do. Like Willie Hernan Gomez, he's solid backup center. He won the Euro MVP of whatever tournament they just held.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, at least like everybody loves each other too. So that's great. But yeah, there's going to be, I don't know if you're going to have to trade away some guys or something. I mean, I don't know.
I think you might see Jackson Hayes traded away at some point in the season.
I'm not ready to do that yet. A lot of people are ready. It's like, oh, just trade Graham, trade Hayes, and bring back.
Not trade Graham. Graham's apparently looking all right. Like,
wow,
this might be a bounce back season. Hopefully,
well, I mean, we did sign him to play with Zion, and he didn't get to play with Zion at all last season.
Exactly.
But look, it's a good problem to have. But this is definitely the deepest roster this organization has ever had. So,
and it's got a competent head coach.
And they actually announced a new radio broadcast switching station.
iHeartRadio.
With to a different local station, because the station they were using before, the signal is just fucking terrible.
I'm calling it now. They're going to be in the top 4 seeds in the West this year.
I think
I know Wesley won't agree. I know he won't agree, but the Pelicans are going to be a top 4 seed in the West this year.
I can't wait to see where he takes me to get my steak when they finish higher than the Mavs.
If they stay healthy.
Right? Always the caveat.
That's the big if.
So, all right, Scott, you got anything?
I do. It's not Pelicans related, though.
Oh, boo.
No, in that case,
Sorry. It is LSU related. LSU plays versus Tennessee. LSU moves into the top 25 this week. Tennessee is a top 10 team. Play at 11 o'clock, and they sold out Tiger Stadium. So, it should be a great environment, even though it's a morning game in the middle of the day.
Hey, people stick around after halftime because it's still early.
Yeah, and I think it should be a good game. Tennessee is ranked 128th in passing defense in the country, so I expect LSU to probably try to throw the ball more. Jaden Daniels called a players only meeting with himself and the wide receivers this week to try to get more on the same page, so look for them to probably sling the ball around a little bit more this week. And we just need the defense to do their thing. And I think we have a good shot. It's a big marquee game. And if we can win this game, things will be rolling really good. So
I tell you what, having it early probably works out better for me, because if it was a 7 o'clock, I don't know that I could stay up for it. I'm still going to be on London time.
Yeah.
It's not, the jet lag isn't so bad going back, I promise.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
Although Scott was drinking a Record the League cider at 9 o'clock in the morning UK time yesterday.
Well, you know,
I was. It was morning, so.
All right. Well, that's it for our show we have this week. I want to thank everybody, our loyal listeners, especially all those loyal listeners we were able to finally meet in person this weekend. We'll get more into that over the next few weeks. But we want to thank everybody for coming out to just such a great event that James put on. And thank you for downloading this week's show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following us on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. So we're all here. We're all one big Saints community. We all want them to win. We all want the same thing. We may say different things about it or have different feelings at the time. I may be calling for Dennis Allen to be fired. But at the end of the day, we're all Saints fans. We all want the same thing. So we just want to thank everybody for sticking with us. And for listening, I don't have the sheet in front of me. I'm in my bed in Edinburgh, so I don't even. Is there some Scottish quote that I can end the show with?
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, Scottish donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
When the Saints go marching in, oh, when the Saints go marching in, yes, I want to be in that number. When the Saints go marching in, oh, when the Saints go marching in, oh, when when the Saints go marching in.